Hello and welcome to episode 5, series 2 of the KungFuology.com podcast. My name is Jake Newby and with me as ever is Andy Best.
Hello.
And before we get any further into this podcast, I realise that this is only an audio format, so it's not going to help too many people out there, but I would just like to draw attention to the rather dazzling footwear that Mr. Best has got on with us. So do you want to talk us through what's on your feet there?
All right. It's a pair of bright yellow, custom-designed Crocs.
This is no joke, is that he has actually got a pair of the custom-designed. Well,
this brings us on to a bit of an announcement, because there's good reason for this, and this is some news. It's a bombshell. Going after their previous success with pairing rock music and footwear, major advertising studio, W&K, right here on Changla Road in Shanghai, have approached us. They've identified this key creatives in the market who lead opinion and lead trends, and they've brought us together with Crocs to turn this podcast into a vidcast.
Wow. A live vidcast as well, right?
It's going to be unbelievable. I mean, you know, we're going to reach a whole new demographic because, you know, the invisible hand of the free market can also just make great creative products. I mean, I'm not an expert on this. I'm kind of fucking it up a bit here, but we're reaching a whole new demographic here. And, you know, we set opinions and trends on our podcast, and W&K are experts at manipulating that. It's going to be great. So it's going to be interactive. What's going to happen is you, the reader and the listener, are going to choose the studio background and location. You are going to have a great choice between different kinds of Crocs that we will wear on the vid. Because we'll have like our, you know, our feet up on the table or something like that with the Crocs prominently in the bottom corner and the Crocs logo in the opposite corner.
Right. But it'll be subtle, right?
Yeah. Subtle, yeah. And finally, because, you know, these guys are ad professionals. They know what they're doing. And finally, I'm going to script different versions of the opening joke and the chat sections. And you're actually going to be able to vote on individual words, which you think is the funniest, the best, or the most interesting. And it's going to be an interactive video. I mean, we're just going to new heights. I mean, I'm just buzzing about it. I'm beaming.
That is huge. Absolutely massive.
Yeah. So what will happen is you're going to, after the vidcast, the first one, you're going to see us all over Croc stores nationwide. We're going to be on the in-house TVs. We're going to be on the wallpaper, on the posters. We're going to have our own designer line, and you know, we're finally going to get those young creative people who look at a pair of bright pink Crocs, bright yellow Crocs like I'm wearing, and they say, wow, look at those Crocs, I want to go and form a rock band.
Right on.
Yeah. And you know, discounting the fact I'm contractually obliged to say this now, you appear to be wearing, you know, quite an interesting eclectic set of foot coverings yourself there.
Yeah, this is actually a pair of Crocs that I'm wearing from the new Crocs Rock range.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that our range? Is that the KungFuology range?
This is one of the KungFuology designs. Yeah, if I just twist my foot here and flick that bit of chewing gum off, you can see that's actually your face right there.
Ah, and instead of the little Xiang Yang stickers, you've actually got a Johnny Rottenhead and an Anarchy sign on there.
That's right, yeah. It's from the new Slaphead range.
Nice. Ah, exactly. And don't worry. I mean, you know, we're not going to give up all our integrity here. I mean, you know, we did reject some ideas. Like, we're still going to be called KungFuology, not Crocology.com. So nothing to worry about. But this is going to be great. We're going live and I'm going to hang it all up. We needn't work full time anymore. We're going to get the pool, the Bentley, and we're going full time with this.
Cool. All right. So coming up on this podcast, we are going to take a look back to the gigs that from last weekend, none of which I went to, but a couple of which Andy went to. We're going to have a little chat about a festival coming up in the next few weeks, which has nothing to do with books. And we're going to take a look forward to the big gigs coming up this weekend, and there are lots of them to talk about as well. So last week I put up a post saying that Chinese New Year malaise was over and that live music was back with a bang. There was a whole bunch of gigs that people should go and check out, and then I went to precisely none of them. But you went to a couple, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. But in your defence, I'd just like to mention that Jake was in fact doing something on Friday night down at Dada Bar, which was the Riot Girls night, which is a very good cause. It was the money from the the wine sales and the percentage of the bar went to a woman's shelter.
Yeah, migrant women. Yeah.
And the headlining performer was Cha-Cha.
Cha-Cha, yeah.
Like a trip-hop singer, right?
Yeah, she's fantastic. Absolutely brilliant performer. I linked this in the last post on the blog so you can check out her Doban and listen to her. She's a brilliant performer, great voice, and she's going on tour around China in the next few weeks, so check her out.
Excellent. But, meanwhile,
where were you on Thursday night, Andy?
So, I did get out. I went to Yuyuntang two nights in a row. Thursday was a free night organised for and headlined by Break for Borneo.
Who are they?
So they are kind of like, I hate calling bands expat bands, right? But they are all expats and they play reggae slash, they call it tropical rock. And
sounds
it,
nice.
Yeah, features, yeah, exactly. They had this great song, like to this lovely calypso reggae called Losing My Mind. And it just, you know, it put me of a certain picture, you know, lying on the beach, the sun beating down, the martini in the hand, and you drop your olive and you're just losing your mind. And that's just, I mean, nice. it just took me right there. And joking aside, the drummer is Zach from Laya Boards. Another band member is Becca Smith from Dovetail Joints. They're excellent musicians. And last minute addition to the bill, which got me excited, was Stegosaurus.
So who is Stegosaurus? Tell us about them.
Again, another kind of all expat band, but again, a band who I very much include in the local scene, because these are really nice guys. They go to all the local gigs. They're watching all the bands. They're at the Mushrooms, they're at Pinkberry, they're at Candy Shop, they're at Han Han's bands, are at Duck They Love Duck Fight Goose. Everyone knows them now. They're all over Doban. All the Yuyuntang crowd like know and accept them, and they're really great guys and very much part of the scene. Now, musically, they remind me a lot of Bare Naked Ladies, the band. And
not just of Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah, it's a okay. cheesy joke. Yeah. Anyway, in that they have this kind of like quite up-tempo, danceable indie rock where the focus is on kind of like humor, you know, witty lyrics and a kind of light performance, you know. And when I say light, I don't mean lightweight though, because even though this was a bit of a warm-up impromptu gig for them because they've been away recording a CD, they had some really great moments. They have a great song, which is basically an extrapolation of the original 60s Batman theme. And it really, really rocked, and it was genuinely funny. And Levi, one of the guitarists, was even wearing a full costume, you know, the cape with a hood, the Batman mask, a T-shirt, right down to his shoes, you know, matching black Crocs. Custom Kung Fu Ology range with the Batman yellow and black logo on the toe. So yeah, it was just great.
Nice.
Yeah, it was marvelous. And
but Stegosaurus, like something which is a little bit different to Bare Naked Ladies, or my knowledge of Bare Naked Ladies, is that they sing some of their songs in Chinese, right?
Yeah, this is the point we were making before on a discarded take that you're never going to see because I forgot to press record. Anyway,
maybe when the director's cut of the podcast comes out in years to come.
That's right. Yeah. So basically, a few of their songs are sung in Chinese, right? And they've got a load of these, but a few tracks they've kept and recorded and developed. And what was really great was there was a fair amount of people on the night who were native Chinese speakers there who were also not familiar with the band. And when they said these lines and did these Chinese language choruses, it was genuinely well received. I mean, people were laughing out loud at the jokes they were telling in Chinese. So, you know, fair play. I mean, what a, you know, it was really, really good to see them. I really enjoyed myself. Yeah.
So we'll look forward to the CD coming out then, hopefully in the next month or so. Can we say that?
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, just going through the final mixing now. Yeah.
Okay, great. Good stuff. And then Friday night, also Yuyuntang.
Well, let's talk about Break for Borneo.
Let's talk about some more about Break for Borneo and their tropical rock.
That's right. So Break for Borneo are actually like a really good band. Not normally my thing. And the funny thing is, right, I hadn't seen them live yet, right? And I think I'd been to one gig they were playing at and just caught snippets. But anyway, Zach always describes himself and his music and that band as world music, which for me is a very, very specific kind of genre or sort of section in the CD shop back home, right? And he really undersold himself there. I mean, obviously, you're listening to this now, Zach. I mean, they're more like a rock reggae band. They're a four-piece and they're a lot more traditional. They're not like a big, cheesy sort of fake pipes, keyboard sound, you know, ambient Enya sort of style thing, dissing Enya there.
I love that stuff.
You do, yeah, you do. You just love it. It just goes so well with your pink Crocs that you've now changed into. Good choice.
Enya Crocs.
Enya Crocs, that's right, yeah. The Life Force is for the official name of the range. But anyway, as I was saying, you know, they really undersold themselves there. The only problem was that, again, they got this new sound desk at Yuyuntang, and the sound guy, I'm afraid to say it, just didn't know how to handle a stand-up acoustic bass. So the guy had a big double bass.
Right.
And they attempted to, like, get the volume up on it because it's, you know, obviously it's quiet and has to be mic'd. And it was just, like, a bit sort of whiny. And the sound really suffered, which is, which is a pity because obviously it was quite a good night.
Quality act, yeah. That's a shame. All right, but Friday then at Yuyuntang. What was that about?
Yeah, and I apologise in advance to the listeners. This is sort of all me because I was only there. So Friday was a really interesting theme night. It was called Big Chang Diao, or Bi Chang Diao in Chinese. And it was kind of like old Shanghai gangster themed. So the poster was three 1920s Chinese gangsters from Shanghai, which funnily enough, if you look carefully and if you know the famous movies, which are all remakes of an 80s TV show called Shanghai Tan, Shanghai Beach, which is like Y Tan basically. They had Chow Yun-fat, who is playing the title character of that drama in the 80s TV show. Then they had, it was either, God, I can't picture it now, I've got off the computer, either Andy Lau or Leslie Jiang, whichever one was dealing the character from the new Shin Shanghai Tang, the famous movie in the 90s, like a movie update of that TV show. And then they also had the mainland actor who plays him in a more recent TV version of it. And this was a night to promote Lurza from Sonnet's label, which is called Julu Hefeng.
Yep.
Wow.
Bingo.
So it featured their signed acts, Sonnet, who are obviously quite famous, and Pinkberry, who we talk about a lot. And also Hammer from Second's solo folk act, sort of upgraded to a kind of full lineup with a bass player, a lead guitarist and a drummer. And they're called Man Ban Pai, which I found out the same day, coincidentally, from one of my students down my part-time work, that is actually slang for kind of like the slow class at school or whatever. Well, not slang, it's real, you know, but everyone obviously just, as you do in school, turns it into a real cruel sort of insult or slang term or whatever. And also a band called Yin, which actually means copy, and they're a cover band, and obviously there's no need to...
All right, about so let's skip them then. But Man Ban Pai, so this is...
Well, you know a bit about Hammer and that. You can talk here.
Right, so, but, I mean, they're taking, like, Hammer's solo stuff, but putting it to a band backing, right? Is that the deal? Like, yeah. I mean, these are the same songs that she has.
It's like the next stage in development of Hammer's sort of, like, in indie pop slash folk incarnation.
Okay, yeah, I really like her stuff. I think, you know, she's got a real good... She's got a knack for writing a really sort of catchy, lo-fi kind of indie tune. Yeah, I haven't caught Man Ban Pai yet. I haven't seen it put to a band. I don't know how that changes it.
Well, what's very interesting is the first thing that surprised me, because they're a young band, and apart from her, the others in the band are not that experienced. But, or so I thought, until I noticed that the drummer is the drummer from Candy Shop.
Okay.
The newer guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're a bit of a younger band in general. But what surprised me was that they came on and they performed quite tightly and in a very professional manner, and the crowd really liked them. And the lead guitarist was kind of funny, because the lead guitarist was drawing all the applause with his soloing, because basically as they played kind of indie folk pop acoustic tracks with a bit of bass and drums behind it, he was doing all the kind of meandering, bluesy, almost J-rock-esque sort of soloing over it. And he kept drawing cheers whenever he played a bluesy solo, which, you know, it's not our thing, but, people really liked it. I mean, and it was pretty much straight up like pop music, you know. If this was a country with a regular music industry, they'd be in the charts basically. Yeah.
Okay.
It was that kind of music, but, you know, guitar based and with her sort of, you know, more interesting storytelling type lyrics as opposed to, you know, throwaway pop stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So they went down really well. And next up were Pinkberry, who, again, they came on with quite a good sound, but it was a bit quiet at first. Took them two or three songs to turn it up. And when it was turned up, you know, a little bit of dancing and moshing broke out. Xiaoyou, the singer, was, you know, kind of on pretty good form, pretty energetic. And then they did all right too, yeah.
That's good, because Pinkberry, their lineup sort of chopped and changed a lot. They've sort of, I don't know, they've had a bit of a dip in form, I'd say, probably in the last, I don't know, few months or so.
Yeah,
but they're starting to kind of recover some of that a little bit, do you think?
Yeah, well, again, I personally thought that they suffered from what I call the Soma curse, you know, where Soma signed those bands or got involved also with some other bands sort of externally without signing them, like Pinkberry. although they finally got signed when Lurza decided to break from Soma to do his own label in order to sign those bands, where basically Soma had started, like, we were already blogged to death that they sort of popified, commercialized the bands they had. But also you can see from the performances of people like Little Nature and Momo that Soma have basically sort of like trained them to act like famous pop stars on the stage, like self-consciously aware of being popular and whooping to the crowd and pulling moves on the stage and stuff, right? And I felt that really kind of like scuppered Pinkberry a bit, even more so than the whole Pepsi controversy thing, was that when the Pinkberry first came on the scene, they were just sort of honest to God three chord pop punk, and they had energy and Xiaoyou had talent, yeah. Right? And they sort of, they initially came through on their own merit, and like you said, then they went missing for a while. And now they're back. They seem to be pretty like 90% back to where they were. So,
well, that's good. I mean, like I say, I think they've suffered partly, I mean, because of lineup changes and stuff as well. But I mean, yeah, I mean, Xiaoyou is just naturally a really strong front woman. I think she just is a naturally strong performer. She doesn't need to be trained into any kind of like mold, you know, any sort of mold or anything. Like she is.
Yeah,
just
and,
a great
and
performer.
She's famously ambitious as well. And she's still got like a year at film. She's studying how to be a film director at Shanghai Film College. But whether it be, you know, with Pinkberry, with the current set and songs in this incarnation down the line, or whatever she chooses to do, you know, across her 20s, she will end up being in a good band and getting somewhere with it, you know. Definitely. Without a doubt.
Yeah. So, and then the headliners.
Sonnet, again, all these shared band members that we talked right. about and stuff. Sonnet have lost their bass player, and they had to play basically with a keyboard, and it's like a sampled bass sound. So Youngsoo moved
like
over
really...
onto the keyboard, and he played a combination of the keyboard lines and the bass lines through loops and samples on a really massive sort of keyboard effects and loop setup.
Sounds like a really odd setup. Did it come off?
Well, it fundamentally changed their sound. So right. when they played the old classics with Tony Bai playing the main guitar lines and stuff, you know, it wasn't the same.
Right.
It just wasn't the same. So it didn't necessarily go better or worse, but now they've got a kind of a distinctly different sound doing it without the live bassist and sort of having to compensate with more electronic into it. But I mean, so I think depending on your taste, you'll either think it's an improvement or a massive, massive departure. So they went down all right. But basically, Man Ban Pai sort of had everyone sort of believing in the show as being, oh, this is a good show, these bands are good bands. And the locals especially, you know, like really, really responded to, you know, her lyrics and that. Because in Shanghai, like in Beijing, rock bands have this thing with English, right? Now, I've got no opinion about it. I think it's fine. I don't like some of the comments about Chinese bands should sing in Chinese. I think that's a load of balls. They can sing any language they like, sing French if they like, or Arabic. It doesn't matter. But in Shanghai, the crowd, the bands and the crowd tend to go for the Chinese more. But you shouldn't read too much into that because people's native language is actually Shanghainese here.
Right.
Right. So there's still different levels going on and bands who do sing in English, right? And the sort of mix of languages in some songs. But they, Man Ban Pai sort of like obviously made a connection, I guess is what I'm going to say, with the people who were there. Then Pinkberry came on and they got a few people dancing and rocking. And again, when Sonnet came on, you know, and as with these multi-band nights, unless the headliner's a real superstar, it starts to tail off, both with people or not. So I was a little bit underwhelmed, but I'm going to be interested, we'll leave this to the previews, to see Sonnet again and see how they, what they keep and what they don't with this new...
Yeah, right. Sort of, I guess they're still experimenting with a new lineup and whatever you say.
Yeah. So interesting band of the night, funnily enough, I thought were Man Ban Pai. So.
All right, good. Yeah. All right, so this week, kicking off this week, we have a very big, important festival going on in Shanghai, which, as I mentioned earlier, has nothing to do with books. It is, of course, Dre Festival 2010. This is the second year that it's been put on. It's all being organised by the good people at Splitworks. And it's a music and art festival. It's running for, what, three weeks?
Yeah, if you include the art events and I think it's about 3 weeks.
I think some of the art exhibitions are actually running now. It's taking place in Shanghai and in Beijing. Naturally, we're going to focus on the Shanghai side of things. And, I mean, we'll sort of talk specifically about some of the acts coming up in the previous section, both this week and next week's pods. But, I mean, just what we wanted to talk about really was just the sort of the concept behind Dre, really, and how it works. Because what I find interesting about what they're doing here is that it's, I mean, it's labeled as a festival and it's marketed as a festival. But I mean, it's kind of like, it's using existing venues, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's so, using the existing spaces. So it's kind of like a kind of a heavy period in the schedule.
Yeah. So the background of this is that Splitworks initially kicked off with the UA Festival, a full-size festival in Zhongshan Park. Very successful, very well attended. You were there, Jake.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
And but of course, they did it once. The government saw what it was, and then and the park owners and the neighbors, and you know, it wasn't going to happen again. Right, it was a flash in the pan, right?
Although, interestingly, I noticed, in Rick's article on CNN Go that Archie is hinting at a possible return for Ye.
But so the point was, around that time, including like running up to the the Olympics and stuff, and cancellations were happening, big gigs, the Bjork incident, you know, larger, mid-scale to larger gigs were in trouble. The big promoters like the Emmas and the China West and the Ticketmasters were like on their way out or you know, spluttering, hit and miss. And there just wasn't a good solid climate for pulling off big festivals or gigs. It was dodgy. And Archie had the idea to do a kind of Edinburgh Festival type thing and split the events over existing small galleries and venues like your Yu Yin Tang, your Mao Now. I've got none. And sorry, an intentional rhyme there. And your Dream Factories and then the small galleries and doing it in Beijing and Shanghai at the same time and having a sort of variety of events split amongst the smaller venues. And it really worked the first time. Of course, you need a couple of years for it to build up, but, you know, it worked. And this year looks like it's already going to be pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, they've expanded it beyond what they did last year, obviously. Hmm. So there's more venues involved. There's just a whole load more events going on. I mean, like I say, we'll sort of talk specifically about some of these in the previews and things. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, they've gone big this year, definitely.
Yeah, and what interested me was that, and this is what we want to talk about, is that when you look around, I mean, if you went to a selection of kind of things in the Jue Festival, you might check out, you know, like you might check out the Photographer's Night at Dada. You might check out a gig at Yu Yun Tang, a gig at Mao, or an exhibition at like I don't know Wei Hai Lu or somewhere like that. I mean, I'm not sure. I haven't really checked up on all the arts things yet. And actually, when I was reading this, I was like, well, that's just like one of my normal months, isn't it? Except, of course, that you know Archie's bringing in international acts, and it's obviously more heightened than that. But the interesting thing is that, and you can give me your feedback on this. I think that this is what people have got to realize: all this stuff is out there. And this is going to be like a knock-on effect of Jue. What I think is good is it should, hopefully, raise general scene awareness for people visiting the city or people, even locals, who just, we all have our little niches, right? And it's like, it's drawing attention to venues and galleries. And after you've been to this festival, what you should realize is, if you crack on, learn a bit more Chinese, you get on Douban, you get on a couple of sites, you read like the blogs like ours or anyone's, or you go to the Splitworks site, and you kind of actively go out there and look for these things, you could be giving yourself a Jue Festival two or three times a year because all this stuff's going on, right? Do you think so?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing that Splitworks are always very good about, I mean, they bring in these kind of mid-level international acts, right? But they, you know, nine times out of 10, they'll put on a local support act to give them. And so they're giving attention to these acts. And I always sort of, I mean, I've always thought of it from that perspective is that actually they're bringing a lot of these local acts and local bands to new audiences. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I've never really thought about it in the sense that actually not only that, but they're bringing people into these venues and these venues are putting on gigs week in, week out, you know, like somewhere like Yu Yin Tang.
You could basically give yourself a not quite as internationalized version of that festival purely by on any given month doing a bit of research, what's going on where, and going to two or three things one week.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's the clever thing about Jue is that it's not a festival in the sense that Ye was in a big sort of one-off big bang. It's going on in existing venues. And that, yeah, I mean, there are big international acts coming in as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, Jue is just sort of putting them all over the space of like, what, two or three weekends.
You see, and also, I mean, we're not going to talk about the art side of it much. So, I mean, but there is one thing I want to talk about, so I better mention it now. The Tim Franco's Photographer's Night at Dada.
Yeah.
Which features two things that I've got, you know, put really great interest in. One is, of course, is it Matthew Niederhauser?
Yeah.
Who does all the portraits of bands against the red wall in
D22.
Plus gig photography. He's doing one of the six slots. And also this podcast as well. We have our own photo collection in there, which is an eclectic collection of rock and roll photos that me and Jake took at gigs, set to music, which is called Rock On With Your Crocs On. And You bastard. I nearly did that as well until I saw him choking on his water there. No, really, believe me. So it's a series of... I can't go on and pretend this is real now. A series of photos of rockers on stage wearing their Crocs during gigs, and it's really interesting, and check it out. Although I've just, like, at the exact moment I started that, Jake was just, to draw a picture here, drinking a bottle of water. He almost choked on it because he didn't know it was coming. Oh, I've ruined it now. Okay, so continuing, what kind of we're going to preview obviously the Dewey Festival in a minute, but this is this thing, is that this is not only going to be a great festival of great international and local acts, because this is what we love about Splitworks, is that they never forget the local acts, no matter what, and they're committed to kind of the overall development of the scene. Because, you know, I mean, it's common sense. We've seen in Yuyantang that it's a model that works, right, and that it's in the long-term interests of all music promoters to help grow the scene, grow the amount of bands, and increase the quality of the bands one way or another. Whatever your opinions about how is, supporting the local scene makes sense, right? And Splitworks are good at that. And the festival is also a good example to all of us that all these events and all these venues and things are there to use, right? And that people could push and use them more.
Right. So, I mean, I think this is going to, it's going to need two things to happen. I mean, hopefully the venues will take this opportunity and will look at this as a great opportunity to bring more people in. And so, and, you know, like Yuyantang has those posters with like what's coming up over the month and all of that, and the website and blah, blah, blah. Hopefully they'll just have a whole load of those plastered around the place. And just really, you know, just really stick it in people's faces, basically. And all of the venues need to be doing that and saying, hey, look, this is great. We've got Dre Festival, but, you know, there's great stuff going on here week in, week out, you know?
Yeah.
Every month we've got, you know, we've got great gigs happening. And also, is a hope that hopefully it will take the people who turn up to these gigs and who've never, maybe never been to Yuyantang or somewhere like that before, to look around and say, well, hang on a minute, there is stuff going on here, and, you know, I need to find it out, and then click onto kungfology.com.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll link the Dewey Festival site, and we're going to preview a couple of the shows briefly in a minute, but we've honestly got so many previews to do. We're going to have to allocate extra time to it and stuff. So we're going to,
well, let's do that now then. Let's go on to some previews.
Yeah, let's start now, and if we've got a bit of time left at the end, we'll get onto that.
Speaking of Dre...
You know, I was just going to say that the song later on, by the way, is going to be Chaos Mind, because... the Hell United thing is going to be on later, so we're gonna play a bit of metal. But
There is a song coming. Just hang on for it.
Yeah, hang on for it. Yeah, we're going to start with Friday at Yuyantang. Talking of the Dewey Festival, Jake.
Hangai. So
you've seen these before, so give us the rundown.
So last time I saw Hangai was at the Zhejiang Dream Factory, and these guys are Beijing based, but they're originally from Inner Mongolia. And they used to sort of, well, a few of them at least used to be in a kind of like punk band in Beijing. A few years ago, they sort of decided to go back to their roots, and they now play traditional Mongolian folk music with like traditional instruments, throat singing, the whole shebang, right? And they are fantastic. These are one of like the best gigs. It was one of the best gigs that I saw last year. Basically, I really like them.
People who've read the blog know this, but, and you know, for people who just listen to the pod and don't read the blog that much, what happened when they tried to leave several times? To what extent?
I mean, they were physically blocked from leaving the stage at one point.
Yeah, like fans got up on stage,
but like there's a little sort of there's a little sort of hole in the wall basically at Zhejiang Dream Factory next to the stage where you can go backstage. They were literally people blocking that hole in the wall, not letting them off stage. I mean, people were going up during the gig and draping scarves around them, which is like a sort of traditional Mongolian thing. There was
forcing
ridiculous amounts of baijiu being drunk. There were a whole bunch of ethnically Mongolian people who were there and dancing, doing
traditional dancing.
So
basically like the Chinese Mongolian sort of expat crowd in Shanghai knew this gig was coming on. They found them. And
I mean, these guys are legends in that scene, right? I mean, it was a big Mongolian party. And I mean, if that kicks off again this Friday at Yuyantang, it's just going to be one of the most memorable gigs you've ever
been
to.
And you know what? I'm really, really looking forward as well, because on that gig, this is the gig where they'll be debuting their new range of Mongolian Crocs.
Right, specially designed with sort of grassland designs, right? Grassland wear.
Yeah, yeah,
and all-terrain Crocs.
Yeah, that's right. And you can choose between the sort of the green camouflage grassland ones or the usual bright colours, so you don't get hit by any yaks in the night.
Sounds good.
Excellent. So what's on the same night? Unfortunately, here comes a clash.
Exactly. Decisions. over at Mau Live House, there's the local King gig, and what's his full name?
Oh, this is really interesting. Yeah, it's actually the third in a series of shows called Local King in English, but this is called like Local King Part 3 : Gunormang.
And what does that mean?
Gunormang is a Shanghainese slang term for the kind of people who crowd around the scenes of accidents and street arguments, those sort of big crowds that you see. I mean, it's in every country, but a lot of people come to China and are shocked by how often it goes on. Although, in recent years, it's really declined, I felt, actually. I mean, when I came here in 2001, I mean, there used to be... God, I'm going into a whole China Watcher thing now, aren't I? But like, I actually was quite shocked as well, because it happens in Liverpool, you know, big crowds of scallies going around to fight. Go on, kick him. And all that. There was even a lad in our school, Dave Jones, whose nickname was the Flashing White Boot, because he'd just like, no matter who it was, he'd sneak into the edge of the crowd in fights and stick his brand new sort of, I think they were like the pump, Reebok pumps.
Nice.
No, I must be remembering that wrong. It must have been Crocs.
Oh, there
yeah.
You
go. Anyway, so what happened was, this is called Gunormang, right? And this is a big Shanghainese thing, like that people joke that in Shanghai you get these huge crowds around accidents and sites and that. And if you go onto the event page on Douban, the photos they uploaded for the gigs are not of the bands at all. They're all quite humorous sort of photos off like the Tianya forums and that, of like huge crowds of people milling around really bizarre things. So I don't know what this has got to do with the gig, though.
So basically this gig's going to be a car crash, is what we're saying.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know what they're implying. Really.
So it's basically, so who have we got? We've got Boys Climb Ropes.
Yeah, this is at Mau and it's free, by the way.
Right. So Boys Climb Ropes at Mau for free. That's a pretty big draw on its own. But wait, there's more. Also on the bill, Sonnet, who, you know, lineup problems aside, quality act. Pinkberry, you know, vlog favourites. And Candy Shop. All on the same bill for free.
At Mau, yeah.
This, like, that's massive.
Yeah,
massive.
Exactly. At the exact same time as Hangai are playing in... Yuyuntang. So either way, you're going to get like a really, really good show.
Definitely.
I mean, it doesn't matter who does or doesn't go to Hangai. Hangai have got their crowd. They're big. This is a Jue festival. That's going to be a packed out rocking gig.
Right.
Yeah, you, me, no one can stop. They cannot be stopped. Right. So, I mean.
Nor would we want them to be stopped.
No, of course. I mean, yeah.
Just saying,
yeah,
it's a big choice.
Yeah, it's a big choice. Both gigs are going to be, you know, well attended and exciting. And if none of that. Like, what were you going to say? Sorry?
I was going to say, do you want to make a token mention of what's going on at Life?
That's what I was going to do. If none of this appeals to you, there's yet another gig going on. And I got quite conscious recently that we don't mention Life Bar that much and what's going on. And it's half because it's quite obvious, it's often difficult to find out what's going on there. Yes. But not really, but it's not like immediately available at the normal sort of places. So I have to kind of go into their discussion group on Douban and look down that list. And occasionally they have them all up. Like, in advance enough. But anyway, that's in Yangpu district, and it's part of where the old scene used to be, but there's still a scene there. When you look at Live Bar gigs, it's bands you haven't heard of, and a lot of student bands play either at 021 or Live Bar, up-and-coming bands. And we noticed that the band Caramel Mint, featuring Melody Lee, who used to be in Candy Shop, on their Douban page, they even proudly say part of, like, the, if you translated, like, the Yangpu Massive or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, and a lot of the metal bands started off up there in Live Bar, and a lot of the avant-garde bands too.
I mean, the other part of the reason that we don't really talk about Live Bar that much is because a lot of the bands who are playing are bands who we haven't heard of, frankly. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, shame on us. We should get out there and hear them.
And bands who are interested who play, they always then play Yuyuntang, and it's miles away.
Right.
So I'm going to try and, you know, mention them more. So there are three bands playing there on Friday.
Right.
One is actually a kind of what I like to call a logo band, Toshi and people like that. Basically, they rose, according to their Douban page, this band, Jehoshaphat Blow and the Blah Blah Blahs, rose from the ashes of the Snot Rockets, who kind of are kind of, these bands are all quite similar, this sort of garage rock punk sort of bar band style, which started off with a famous Shanghai band called the Dropkicks. And a lot of people actually like that style, and they've got some rocking songs, and they're playing Live Bar on Friday, along with a band called September and a band called Rank.
Exactly.
I'm not sure if that's like they're highly ranked or that they smell.
Could be either. Maybe they're a highly ranked, smelly band.
Yeah, so we've no idea about these bands. We're even being sarcastic. But to be honest, if you want to go in a smaller venue away from all these so-called big events and just rock out some garage punk and do some serious drinking, then... maybe Live Bar is the one for you.
There you go. Saturday then. What's going on Saturday? Dreher Festival continues.
Sorry, yeah. Thinking out loud there. Sorry, very unprofessional of me.
Dreher Festival continues at Yuyuntang with St. Vincent.
A New York-based indie folk singer, right? Indie rock slash folk
singer. New York-based, is she? I thought she's Canadian.
No, that's the other one. Julie Dorley. I'm going to cock this up and Archie's going to kill me. That's another Dreher event to be previewed next week.
Oh, all right. So St. Vincent, who sounds, I don't know, she's kind of like a Feist-like sort of female solo artist, kind of experimentalish indie folk, I guess. It's, you know, it's pretty good stuff.
International act. Wow.
Exactly. Over at Mao Lifehouse, meanwhile, is something completely different.
That's right. It's the Hell United Metal Collective show, you know, brought to you by Crocs. And this is, you know, this is very similar to the last sort of show I saw, which wasn't Hell United, but I made a big fuss about on the pod and on the blog, the metal show. It's got a very similar lineup. Let's start. Let's not make any assumptions here, Jake. Hell United, what is that? Sorry.
So Hell United, this is the metal collective set up. It's a regional metal collective. It's not just Shanghai. So, I mean, basically the four main bands in it are all playing this Saturday. So you've got Chaos Mind and Six Shot, who are both from Shanghai. And you've got October Capricorn from Hangzhou. And then you've got From the Red, who are from Suzhou. Mm. Are they from Suzhou? They're from Nanjing.
The Red.
I think they're from Nanjing.
We'll have to write this up on the blog.
Suzhou or Nanjing. Sorry. My memory's gone. But anyway, so they're all regional metal bands. They kind of got fed up with people not booking them for gigs, formed their own collective, and now, you know, they're playing shows throughout the region.
And is this the anniversary, right?
This is the 1 year anniversary of Hell United, yeah. So they were formed like a year ago this month. So those four bands are all playing, and then they've got another blog favourite, FAF, in support as well.
Yeah, who supported the last Yuyuntang metal gig as well. They're quite commercial and catchy sounding, but they have a great beat. They're technically like a metal-y band, if not, you know, the emo and that. But
Sam Dust from Chaos Mind, who's the lead singer of Chaos Mind, was saying that he realizes that FAF actually, they're not really a metal band in that sense. But they're just so damn good, he just wanted to put them on the bill, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And he told me that the first time he saw them, you know, he was watching them play, and he looked down from the guitars and he saw singer Ding Ding's kind of like sort of almost shining sort of gloss finish black Crocs, which were just like, you know, so metal and so like brutal and evil, with a little blood drop logo on the side, which they designed himself. That, you know, because you can customize Crocs, you know, and that he just thought, you know, these guys are just like at the cutting edge of the trend and the market. And he's got an invisible hand coming out of somewhere. And, you know, this is just like, they're just like, they've got to be on the bill, basically. You know, if you rock Crocs that hard, you've got to be on the Hell United bill. So FAF open.
Did you say he's got an invisible hand coming out of somewhere? What does that mean?
Something like that. I read it in a book by some Scottish philosopher, Adam Smith, I think.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Wealth of nations. So Hell United, 1 year anniversary show at Mount Live. Should be a good one.
My pick for that is, obviously Chaos Mind are the experienced sort of marquee band who will headline these shows, right? But it's funny because they're all multi-band, and as usual, they go on a little bit too late and they lose the people by the end. And Chaos Mind never, ever fucking play to the best crowd of the night. It's so annoying. This one thing that really gets me about this is the people who neither go on first nor last, you kind of nestle themselves in the middle sneakily, are Six Shot. So recently, they're like the band to see. Not because they're not necessarily like way better than the others, but they are good. But they always seem to play right when they've been warmed up and everyone's still there, you know, and it's not too late. And as a result, Six Shot have been the band to see for me in the Hell United Collective.
Okay, so having talked for far too long, we're now going to play out with the song, which is Chaos Mind, who are playing the 1 year anniversary of Hell United at Mao this Saturday. The song's called Scream.
If you wearing Crocs?
No, I think it's just called Scream. But
oh, yeah, sorry, I misremembered that.
Okay, right. Any closing remarks, honey?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that, you know, this is the fifth episode. We're almost onto the sixth, and then we're going to have another season break. I'm sorry. But, you know, the highlight for me has been your shoes.
Thanks very much, mate.
Which are, of course, your custom Crocs. And if you like this podcast, love Crocs. Love us, love Crocs. Rock out with your Crocs out. Croc on. I don't know.
Let's leave it there.
Let's just leave it
That'll
there.
That'll do. All right.
You got the message.
Chaos Mind and Scream, then. We'll see you next week.
Bye.